If you want to overcome fear, it's essential to learn to overcome your reaction to pressure. And the key to this is learning to give up resentment. Resentment produces one of two extreme compulsions: to be over-aggressive, violent, a bully, to attack, to jump into situations too quickly, to respond to challenges unnecessarily, and the dependence on those pressures to maintain the rightness of the wrongness of it. The other extreme, of course, is the fear part: to run, to suppress, not speak up, to be cowardly, to live more in the mind imagination, to be brave there, not in the real world. For courage that is not used becomes fear. When you react like an animal, and resentment introduces you to those reactions, you run or fight. Running part is fear. The two reactions, run and fight, are interchangeable. If you fight, you don't have fear, you're aggressive. But if you suppress the fighting part of it, then it becomes fear. I remember a person came to me one time who ran out of a forest fire, and he lived in a nightmare for the rest of his life. He couldn't get rid of the fear, the terror. He woke up sweating. He sees himself running out of that forest fire, terrified. Now, what's so wrong with running out of a forest fire? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't anyone? No, he resented it. He resented the threat of it. He'd always resented the threat of things since he was a child. And resentment transferred the normal fear, which is nothing to be ashamed of. You simply run out of a forest fire. But the resentment changed the fear and created some kind of guilt. And we're going to discuss this in a little while. He didn't run away properly. So people have one more fear in addition to natural fear. It's a resentment to their own fear, to anything, to people who are cruel to them. And to suppress that fear will make them run, but the fact that they are reacting like an animal to a forest fire or to a bully adds one more fear to it, that which stems from guilt. So therefore, people have those fears which are not natural to animals, because we overreact and assume an animal relationship with the world. And so therefore, we, in responding like an animal, become or behave like them. So we have fear because we are an animal and not a human being. We behave like an animal because we react like an animal. We don't respond to our enlightened reason. Wherever there's guilt, there's also fear. Let us say you are a criminal and you see a police car coming round the corner. What will you do? Will you stand up to the police car and say, "Here I am, Mr. Policeman"? Or will you, in your guilt, run and hide? And so it is when we have done things wrong and reacted wrong. You may not have done something wrong, but the equivalent, reacting wrong to a situation, and having never spoken up like a man, you cower like an animal. So therefore, again, in your guilt, you can be afraid of seeing the truth, and you hide like a criminal. And this hiding, this denial, this fear of facing oneself can be a fear. We can fear the truth and even resent the truth, which amplifies the fear of truth. When you resent the truth in your own heart is the only thing that can save you from the way the world affects you. See, your conscience, the truth. That policeman that sort of criticizes you or condemns you for not facing up the truth, or hiding from the truth, or not standing up in front of the police car and saying, "Here I am, Mr. Policeman, I'll take what I deserve. I deserve it." And the punishment isn't so bad. It may not be anything at all. But to remain a criminal and not face yourself is a form of fear. And your relationship with the world remains the same. You may even find comfort from the very people who hurt you, who made you worldly, who turned you into an animal. So it is that when you're afraid of the truth, seeing the truth for what it is and your mistakes for what they are, you're failing to deal with bullies properly and developing character and courage, and afraid of seeing the guilt of wrongdoing, you become a frightened animal. You also may fear seeing how you take your frustration out on your offspring, upon those who are weaker than yourself. Of course, when you're angry and you're a bully, you're not a person. Bullies are not people. Frightened rabbits are not people. You see, reaction gives you two fearful choices, to be a beast or a servant of the beast. To become a more of a beast is to be less than a man or a woman. And then you're afraid of seeing that. You have guilt and you have fear. Real people are motivated by love, but animals are motivated by pressure and fear. Human animals are motivated by fear as well as guilt. When you do things out of guilt, you have fear. You seek approval. You don't get it. You have anger. When you have anger, you have fear. Because as I said, anger is the cause of fear. It makes you express anger, rage, or suppress it, fear. You're too timid with people that you secretly resent. You may seek their approval and not get it, and resent them for not giving it. Maybe they don't know what you want, but you resent them for not giving it. And resentment makes you more afraid of them, more submissive, more people-pleasing, seeking approval, and not getting it, resenting them, and fear arising out of the resentment. Fear sensitizes you to your environment. It makes you subject to the external conditions rather than your own common sense. So while you have a need for motivation, animal motivation, to function out of fear of guilt, it turns you into an animal. And one day you may fear the very emotions you need because of what it does to you. It doesn't make you a human being. It makes you an animal. The secret of overcoming fear is love. Now, one form of love comes where you deal with the negative. Now, simply not hating or resenting. Just freeze frame that. Who hath fear is made perfect in love, reads the scripture. And a lot of truth to that. Let us say you have a good father and you love him. You're not afraid of him and you're safe there. But if you have a weak or wicked father, and you don't hate him, you're safe there too, because that's a form of love. Forgiving. Mostly when we're children, we don't have those options, but you do now. But if you resent or fall to resenting your father, your inner world collapses, and it changes the way your environment affects you. Your resentment refers you to the outer world. The way you feel towards your father affects the way you feel towards God. And so, resenting your father separates you from the evolution of your own inner potential and transfers the way you respond and become formed slavishly to the outer world like an animal. Some businessmen have worked all their life to retire from the rat race, only to discover in the solitude of their penthouse, that they've become a rat. And that terrifies them more than their involvement with the world, where they could forget what they were becoming. They were becoming a rat, but they were forgetting they were becoming a rat because all the emotion has involved their mind with the process. So although we need emotion to function, very often we become afraid of what we need, and we may not know why. The evolution of this kind of self is fraught with conflict, guilt, and naturally fear. Resentment, as I said, separates you from the inner and sensitizes you to the outer. The fearful become more fearful, and the powerful become bigger bullies, and sometimes afraid of what they might do, which makes them too timid for fear of hurting people. I remember a famous boxer who was so angry that he almost killed somebody one time. In a fit of rage, he was stronger than anyone else. But then when he almost killed someone, he was afraid of his own strength. He then, every time he became angry, suppressed his own anger and resentment and became timid. And everyone saw this timid giant and were excited. The fearful ones were excited to bully him and take advantage of him and mock him and make fun of him. And then he resented it even more, and suppressed it even more, and had terrible fear, didn't know where it was coming from. This can lead to terrible problems. The suppression of all anger becomes fear. Always remember, if you're afraid of somebody, you really hate them. Fear and rage are interchangeable. Suppress rage and it becomes fear. express fear, and it becomes rage. Weak before the strong, strong before the weak. Guilty and fearful, either way you go. Let us say I upset you. Just for an example, I did something out of order, and you resented that. Now watch what happens, and you must have had this in your own experience. Next day, or next week, or next month, you see me coming down the street, and suddenly you feel a little shock round your heart, a little twinge, like fear, that wouldn't have been there had you not resented me. But resentment had changed the way you relate to me and made you psychologically and physically sensitive to my presence, so that my very presence walking down the street, coming toward you, intimidates and causes a reaction where one never would have been. Now, how do you undo this? If it is true that resentment is the key to causing you to be afraid, or violent for that matter, but we're dealing with fear here, aren't we? If it is true that resentment causes fear and adds fear on top of fear where resentment is added on top of resentment. For example, let us say I walk up to you, and instead of you telling me off the way you plan to in your mind, I show a nice face. I don't know you resented me. I don't know I did anything wrong to you the day before or last week or last year. And you find yourself unable to express that hostility, but to suppress it. Bending over backwards to please me, you walk away, I walk away from you. And then you're angry with yourself and angry with me. Because you promised to do something I asked you to do out of guilt, and you don't know how it happened. Here you are doing something you don't want to do, and you resent me for it, more fear. So therefore, it could become very complicated. And you yourself must understand your own complexities. But if it is true that resentment is the key that causes you to be a fearful person, then it will also be true that if you get rid of that resentment or drop it or realize it out of existence, sort of let it pass as you start to realize it and seeing that's where the problem lies, sort of focusing in on that resentment, that little electrical energy that you feel when you are betrayed or hurt. If that is true, then reversing fear then becomes possible by dropping the resentment in everyday experiences from now onwards. Up to now, you have to realize that your fears come from reacting to people in the past. And your next opportunity is your golden moment. And next time someone imposes themselves upon you in any way, has that sort of evil eye look, or obligates you in some way that you've been conditioned to respond, if you learn not to respond to that with resentment, even though your knees may knock, if you speak up after you are not resentful, of course, then your fear becomes translated into courage. The coward is a coward from the time he should have been brave until the next time. The next opportunity makes you more afraid or more brave. And in this case, if you're more forgiving, more patient, less resentful, or not resentful at all, better still, then you'll find that soon after your resentment is gone, soon after you focus in on your own reaction, which is resentment to the person who's intimidating you, no matter what the problem is, if you deal with that first and speak up where appropriate, even keep silent where appropriate, as long as the resentment isn't there, your fear will slowly diminish and you will be free. Now, setting goals can make you afraid also. The stick and carrot philosophy, promising what cannot be delivered, can cause you to be resentful by the betrayer. Setting goals is a way of not looking at yourself. It's a way of compensating for some kind of inferiority also caused by resentfulness. When you're resentful, you are responding to someone who is bigger than you. You're simply the effect of a cause. And as the effect of a cause, you will feel inferior. The person who responds is always inferior to the person who causes the response. And so, therefore, you could resign yourself to being poor or inferior and learning to be loved for that. And that's another course. But you could also set a goal to compensate for inferiority to others by being superior to others. And so you set goals. And goals produce a false hope. So you set a goal for yourself. And you move away from the truth. That's why it's a distraction. The truth of how resentful you are and how you're failing through resentment. You're moving towards this goal and you have this false hope. Now, whether you achieve that goal or not is beside the point. You've moved away from your center. You've moved further from yourself. You've solved the problem of inferiority in a wrong way, with money, with acclaim, with an education, with whatever. And when you get there, it dawns upon you. Or it gives you a momentary high and a feeling of superiority, but then you're addicted to the superiority, addicted to the wrong answer. You get a high, a buzz for a little while, and then a strange ennui catches up with you. You begin to feel like something is wrong, that the reward has somehow failed you, and you resent it. And the resentment makes you feel inferior. And the inferiority drives you to be superior by means of a bigger goal, a bigger house, more money, prettier women, or whatever. The further you move from this self, the more empty you feel by virtue of the achievement. And as I said, you set bigger goals. But as you again near the goal, you feel the actual failure, the failure of success. And you begin to sabotage your own achievements because you're afraid of succeeding. And therefore you sabotage your own success and you make yourself fail. And you're afraid of success, but you're also afraid of failure because now you come full circle. You've come right back to the failure that drove you to success and the frustration you experience with it. Let me explain another aspect of this success thing and setting goals and how dangerous it is, and those who set goals or teach you to set goals, how dangerous they are to you. Oh, it seems so natural. But look at the principle. Let's say you want to go to New York. So you put one foot in front of the other. You set out from where you are to move towards where you're going. You're moving away from where you live to where you don't live. Can't you see in human terms that if you set a goal other than yourself, finding out who you are and the purpose for existence within you, if you're egotistical, you're going to build your future and your life on new cars and beautiful homes and a lot of money and education, being a doctor, a lawyer, something called success, because all failures compensate by something called success. If we can't win at the game of life, then we create a game we can win at. But that's only a compensation for failing to deal with the game of life. Little boy does not know how to deal with his parents or school. He becomes good at those video games. He becomes good at the video games. That doesn't mean to say he's a good person. It doesn't mean to say that if you become a good doctor, you're a good person. But it does associate, doesn't it? And for a while it seems to work because people think you're good and you think you're good. But it has nothing to do with real success. As everybody who's ever succeeded knows, only when you get there do you know it. Because then you see the truth of it. The truth of everything is known when you achieve it. You can always set a bigger goal and not see it. And for a while you don't. And for a while you have false hope. And false hope becomes fear. In principle, everything will come to you if you don't go after it. If you seek first what is right in your heart, what is life about? Why do you have fear? Why do you have anxiety? Why do you have guilt? If you really answer those questions honestly, you will see that you're failing to be a whole person, a real person, that you've been traumatized, you've reacted, you've resented those who have traumatized you. It has separated you from being who you were meant to be when you were born. And who you were meant to be when you were born is the goal of this program. Who was it said, seek first the kingdom and all other things will be added? Why seek the things to be added first? It doesn't make sense. Those are compensations, aren't they? You've tried your compensations. Now please try it my way. Please proceed with the exercise in overcoming fear.